Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to this edition of the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo. Nico, we're back. We're back from...
What's up, Russ?
How are you?
We are back
from hiatus. I had to cover the Stanley Cup. I had to cover the draft. You had things to do. We're back. We're back every week again now. And let's talk a little baseball. First off, before we get started, Lisa Marie Latino can't be with us today. Her grandmother had passed away, and we want to send our condolences out to her.
Absolutely. Many kisses and flowers. And also like to give a shout-out to Shore Mortgage Bankers. What an unbelievable company right now. They're changing the game in the mortgage industry. Big sponsor here for the MLPO. The Mortgage Bankers are standing right by the phones right now to save our members money. They can call in 248-833-0227. They can call in right now and save some money.
Excellent. So before we get into the Dodgers and the whole MLB mess, I have to say I have a longtime best friend in this world. His name's Aaron Cano. I went to high school with him, knew him before high school, and he's very distraught about the possibility of Jose Reyes leaving the Mets. So he's put together a Save Jose Reyes night. It's going to be July 19th at Citi Field. It's against the Cardinals. Buy your tickets. We're hoping that there's a sellout. That would give the Mets about an extra $2 million in revenue to put towards Jose's contract. And if there were a few more sellouts, then maybe they'd be able to pony up the cash and get him back. Because I have to tell you, if they don't get him signed, A, they're not going to get a fair trade. For all those folks that think they could just trade him and get something for him, go back and look what they got for Tom Seaver. They got practically nothing. So they're not going to get a fair trade. And then if he does walk at the end of the year, well, then they get a couple draft picks. My point is, work out your finances. You've just got a loan. Grab him at the end of the season and give him the money. He is worth it.
I agree 100%. They've got to. There's no other way around it. This is a franchise player. This is a Hall of Fame player. This is guy is on pace to break almost every offensive record other than home runs for the Mets. They got to have him. If they've got any plans of the future of winning the World Series, like within the next few years, this is their guy. They've got him. He's perfectly healthy. He's having an awesome year. And I think there's no doubts. Where else is he going to go? I mean, the only place you can go is New York if you want the big money. And I think they got it. And I think there's no doubt that they're going to be signing him.
I would hope. There is some doubt, though, and I think we need to organize this and let people know. So let's talk about the Dodgers. It's a real mess. Right now they're in bankruptcy. It's very rare when a Major League Baseball team goes into bankruptcy. What I hear is that Major League Baseball will soon take over the team because they're going to need to pay the players. The big deal is with bankruptcy, you're worrying about paying out your creditors. Now, here's the fly in the ointment, and this is the part where we have to decide what's fair. Frank McCourt took over this team, and from what I understand, it had a lot of debt. Now, all of a sudden, lately, we're hearing a lot about this debt wall where if you go over that in Major League Baseball, they tell you you have to make changes because you're not going to survive as a business because you've incurred too much debt, more debt than cash. So I've heard through the grapevine that maybe the Dodgers were heading down that path before Frank McCourt took them over. Now, Major League Baseball wants to make him look to be the bad guy because now they're in bankruptcy and everything else. But it may not be all his fault. Now, granted, there was a divorce. Again, how could he foresee that? So my point is, if you've got Fox that's willing to give you a 30-year contract, which A, gets the team out of bankruptcy, and B, keeps them afloat, do you let him do it? Major League Baseball doesn't want him to do it, but I don't see why not.
Absolutely. This is called business, all right? And each team is individually owned. The Major League Baseball does not own baseball teams. They're not in the business of owning teams. The Dodgers are in business of owning their own team. Frank McCourt had that opportunity to buy the team. He's the current owner, and I think Major League Baseball is making a big mistake on pressing him. He's got this opportunity. I believe the numbers are up to $3 billion over 30 years. Hey, that's what the value of the Dodgers on the marketplace. He's the owner. He negotiated that contract. He has every right in the world to sign that agreement and run his business. And I think Major League Baseball stepping in, I think it's a smokescreen. I think it's clear manipulation, one-on-one. There's some deep troubles in the game right now, especially focused on the New York Mets franchise. They had over $400 million mixed in the mix with the Bernie Madoff victims funds, where so many people lost money. I think Major League Baseball, if they wanted to do the right thing there, it just pony up $1 billion and help the entire fund and the Bernie the investors that lost all that money. Hey, Major League Baseball would step in and say, hey, listen, $400 million of that money was co-mingled with Mets money. We just want to, as a good faith, step in and sign a $1 billion check and have hopefully it all go away, the pressure off the Mets organization, the pressure off of baseball would go away, and they wouldn't have to create this manipulation and go after the Dodgers. Because what it appears to be is that Major League Baseball is selling out the Dodgers to cover the Mets, and that's the real story, but they don't want to blow that up in the front pages.
Right.
Personal
and,
relationships.
Right, and I do believe that as the owner of the Dodgers, he has the right. He really does have the right to do that, and I don't think Major League Baseball should block it. It's guaranteed money. It would guarantee to get that franchise out of debt. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, because he's trying to position one of his friends in the ownership. I mean, we got a commissioner here who, is he setting up his cronies to be the owners of all the different franchises? What's going on here? I think it's time for Bud Selig to take a step back, get out of the game, and resign. This is getting too ugly here. He's going to pull Major League Baseball into something that they've never been in before. A lot of the books are going to be open. A lot of the financial information is going to be open. They could lose their antitrust over this. It's not
worth it. They really could. And it's just one of those things where, I don't know, I think this is what the court needs to decide. Are you going to come up with new ownership for this group, or are you going to let this group basically take the money that's being offered to them and get them out of trouble and close this case? And I hope that's really the deal, because I really can't imagine the Dodgers being in this much trouble. It's pretty bad for the sport.
Yeah, it is. And I think the main problem, and they're starting to use, that they're not getting the same attendance factors. And I was recently having dinner with a gentleman from L.A. who happened to be in Detroit. We were talking about the Dodgers franchise, talked about how he used to love to go to the games. He doesn't go to the games anymore, not because of Frank McCourt, but because of the violent situation. That really
security,
that opening
yeah.
day game, the opening day game where the fan was in a coma through the fight, has really scared off a lot of the Hollywood, Beverly Hills, the multimillionaires are now afraid of going to the ballpark because they don't know what kind of security, who's going to be there, what kind of thugs are out there. They don't want to take their family and their kids and stuff in an environment that's not safe. I think that's the overall thing that's hurting the attendance. And it has nothing to do with McCourt and the marriage or anything like that. Madeline's got the Dodgers competing. And
he
matter
does.
Of fact, the day they filed the bankruptcy, they scored 15 runs, so I think that has nothing to do with the play on the field.
No, I agree, and I was just there last season and didn't have any issues whatsoever. So I think this was an isolated incident, and it's a shame to stay away just because of that. However, the team does need to do something, and they need to get better security. They'll get better security if they can get the TV deal and get their money. And I think
Absolutely. Ultimately
that's what should happen. We'll see what happens with that. Let's switch gears. Everybody's talking about the Mets for the moment because they're scoring at a record pace. They're 2 games over .500. I still don't think it's time to get excited yet. They're still 9.5 out of first. There's still plenty out of the wild card. I think it's one of those deals where right now they're hot and it's fun for the fans. And, hey, I'm not going to suck the fun out of it because they are scoring a lot of runs. At the Tigers' expense, I might add. But let's be real. Let's see where they are after the All-Star break, because that's when things are going to matter. That's when they're going to decide if they're going to keep Carlos Beltran, Jose Reyes, Frankie Rodriguez, and probably a couple of others. Or are they going to start dealing them? That's really going to be the big deal. I personally, as we were saying at the top of the show, I don't think you can get fair value for Reyes anymore, because everybody knows his deal's up, so it's a short-term thing. They know he wants a lot of money, so they may not be able to sign him. So you're basically getting a rental. And I don't know. I think the Mets need the money more than they need the what they're going to get back for him as a rental. So I think you have to let him play out the season at this point. I don't think you can really trade him. What do you think?
No, you definitely can't trade him. And you remember, you've got guys like Jason Bay healthy again. You've got Beltran healthy again. You've got players on this team that can win a World Series now, okay? They may need some pitching. They can go out and pick up some pitching maybe on the deadline, maybe get into their minor leagues and hopefully pull an arm out of there. They've got a chance, and you've got to give it to their leadership, Russ. I know you've been hard on the Mets all year long.
I have.
I've been telling you. They brought Sandy Alderson in. This guy has been through the battles. He's been through the wars. He's been through real wars with tanks and guns and machine guns. Nothing phases him, okay? His leadership is steady, okay? He's brought in Terry Collins. He has been out of the game. He's got a hunger and a passion and desire to win now, okay? I think now is the time to do it. I think the Mets are close. The Phillies are playing awesome ball, but the Mets, hey, no one expected them to be this close.
No, and again, we will just see what will happen, but I think it's a compelling story right now, and it's a nice story, and it could be turning into one of the better stories in the league. We'll see. They're six behind Atlanta. I think if we want to be talking about them in certain terms, at some point they have to overtake Atlanta. Then I will tell you they have a chance, because they don't have a chance to win their division. Let's face it, they're not beating the Phillies. However, if they want to have a chance at the wild card, they're going to have to beat Atlanta, because they're going to have to beat Atlanta. They're going to have to beat St. Louis. They're going to have to beat Arizona. I think Arizona's pitching will fall off, but St. Louis, Cincy, there's some other teams there, even Pittsburgh with 40 wins. They're over 500. This is the first time since 1993 that they're over 500, but they've got to finish the season over 500, and they haven't done that since 1993.
Yeah, it's going to be a great second half. That's all I can say.
It is going to be a great second half. Things are really ramping up right now. But I have to tell you, I posted an article up on Sportsology, and I know we've talked about this. You know, we have a book, Strike Three, and we'll make an announcement about that in a little bit. We did make a social media announcement about it, and we'll mention something that's fun that's going on. But I wrote an article about how baseball has turned very corporate, and as a result of baseball turning very corporate, the average fans are buying less season tickets. They're relying on StubHub. They're relying on other means just to go to a game here, a game there, because tickets are really high. I told you when I went to that game in Toronto, I was a couple rows off the field, maybe 15, 20, and they were $54 each. That's for one out of 162 games, and that stadium was not even half full. So we have a problem in baseball. They're 20% off in attendance at least. My recommendation in the article is take tickets down 20%. They've got to do something. They've got to get people back at the ballpark. People are now watching at home on their high-def TVs, and they're not going to the park. People who have, whether it's a luxury box or they have corporate season tickets, they're being passed around. Hey, I don't feel like going today. I can't go today. And now there's a lot more empty seats than there used to be. I think baseball sold out early to the corporate sponsorships, to the luxury boxes, to a lot of these different avenues to get quick money, the TV deals. And these TV deals are up in 2013. I talk about that. And I also talk about the CBA, which is up in December of 2011, December 11th, 2011, this December 11th. Tell me if you've heard one outlet talking about that.
No, nobody's even concentrating on it. It's going to be a war. It's going to be an ugly war. Right now we know what the NFL is going through, okay? We see that the NBA is going to go through the same thing. And guess what? Baseball has not resolved a lot of their issues. They've got some deep, serious troubles within inside the business of the game. It's going to be a battle and a fight. Major League revenues have now shifted towards the international marketplace, the seamless money, where you can go to MLB.tv and watch any single Major League Baseball game, and you've got millions of fans across the world tuning in, and that the players are not receiving any of this revenue, and it's going straight to ownership. If I'm the union leader, that's the very first thing I put on the table. We want all revenues as share percentages. We're not going to have just the ticket sales where people aren't coming to the game and you guys get all the media sales. No, we've got a clean slate here, all revenues, jerseys, popcorn, hot dogs, ticket sales, media, advanced media, television, radio, all revenues has got to be shared with the ball players.
Well, I say this. Go read the article. It's under Russ's Rants. I've been writing that for about a decade now. And see what you think. But I'm telling you, this is the one thing nobody's talking about. Everybody talked about the NFL strike in advance. Everybody talked about the NBA strike in advance. Nobody is talking about what the position of the CBA is. Now, I hear behind the scenes that they are negotiating, and I kind of wonder if it's a mandate by the sport to not talk about it in season. But I think once September rolls around, if they don't have an agreement, listen, I think you have to talk about it because I think fans need to know. So I'm letting everybody know that could be a problem, and it could be a problem going forward, and a lot of these other issues that we're talking about will affect it. I mean, for all we know, the Dodgers could be the start of a real problem with the CBA because I think other teams that have hit that debt wall might start having problems, and if they do, then that's an issue. So we'll see. We'll see. But right now, we'll also switch gears. We'll talk about the Phillies. They're surging. They've got 51 wins. I still don't think they win 100 because I still think they rest some players in December, in September, and I think that it's not going to happen as a result. They're certainly talented enough. Their pitching's doing great. Are they peaking at the wrong time, though? Because, you know, it's nice to be doing this great now, but truth be known, you've got to be doing this well in September.
They've got the horses. I don't think anybody doubts that Doc Halliday is going to be the best in September. I don't think anyone doubts that Cliff Lee is going to be the best in September. I don't think anyone doubts that Ryan Howard's going to show up, Jimmy Rollins, Vic Serino, Chase Utley. I mean, you just go on and on. Polanco. I mean, their whole lineup is totally stacked. This could be one of the best teams that has ever played Major League Baseball. It's just so awesome to watch them play every day. Yeah, they may have their ups and downs, but you know what? There's not another team that I would put my money on, that's for sure.
No, I agree. I agree. And Nico, I'm not sure how your phone's working. It's coming in a little faint, so if you could speak into it a little more. It was a little faint, but I got the gist, and I agree. I think the Phillies are a juggernaut right now. And for people that want to rip on Ryan Howard, believe it or not, it's happening locally. What does he have, 62 RBIs? What else could this guy be doing?
Yeah, the guy, man, we heard, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, he eats too many hot dogs, he's drinking other beer and everything, but you know what? He gets to the ballpark, he produces, okay? When you look at the key stats, don't look at the batting average, okay? Look at the runs produced. You want to look at how many runs he's driven in plus how many runs he's scored, and you want to divide that by how many games he's played, and then you'll find the magnificent.
Right, and I think that's a fair point. Let's again look around the league and see the Texas Rangers. They're in first place with 43 wins. The Milwaukee Brewers are in first place with 44 wins. The San Francisco Giants are in first place with 46 wins. There's a lot of parity right now. Teams are not running away with it, with the exception of the Phillies. And I kind of wonder, what's going on with that, Nico? Is it a situation where the talent has finally got diluted to the point where, at least at this point in the year, more teams really are in it and the vision's working? Or is it a situation where a lot of teams have a lot of holes?
I think it's a situation where I think over the last 5 years we've been slowly but surely getting closer and closer to parity, okay? You're looking at teams like franchises. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates starting to be in the picture over 500. We're starting to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers being over 500. We're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks coming back to life and being up there. And I just think it's a matter of teams that are drafting good players, okay? Great talent, developing great talent in their own organization, bringing up this talent. So it takes literally 2, 3, 4 years sometimes to get these players ready, and that's the time I think now across the board more and more teams have developed these key players that are ready to produce at the major league level, and it's just so awesome to see. So every single day, flip a coin. Anybody can beat anybody. It's on, and that's what the game is all about.
It is what the game's all about. Now let's talk about a team, the last-place Florida Marlins. This is a team about to get a new stadium. This is a team that has no fans in the stands. This is a team that's gone back and hired Jack McKeon. What is going on with the Florida Marlins? I don't think this is a good way for them to operate. I don't know how this is going to work out with a new stadium, because if the team stinks, they're going to get a one-year fix, and that's about it, I think.
Yeah, you know what? They started off the year like gangbusters, and I think they kind of blew through the opening few months there, really on a high note. But then again, injuries. You never tell with injuries. I think a key loss was when they lost the second baseman Ugla. Their power is just not there. Hanley Ramirez is not the same Hanley Ramirez. They're not getting the day-to-day offensive punch that they're used to getting. They're not getting the day-to-day pitching that they're used to getting. And also they're in the greatest league in baseball. You know, every day you're going against the Phillies. Every day you're going against the Braves. I mean, it's gotta affect you sometime. And I think they've hit that wall where they're not ready yet.
How does it affect you if you're an 81-year-old man and now you're having to manage this team? That seems like a tall order. Right now they're 3-7 in their last 10. I don't know. I mean, I give him a lot of credit, Jack McKeon, for taking on the challenge, but it might be too much for him.
You know, me, I have a personal affection for Jack McKeon, all right, with deep personal relationships. His son, Casey McKeon, we came up at San Diego State together. We're like blood brothers. So I have to say I respect Jack McKeon more than any man. If anyone can come in there and walk into a clubhouse and energize the young players, and if you cannot get motivated to see this guy talk, okay, to see this guy's passion for the game, and see this guy's dedicated to win, hey, who else would you rather be playing for? I mean, you might as well go back to the minor leagues or something, because Jack McKeon has been around the game for 80 years almost, and you can feel it. It's infectious.
Well, and then what about we see Davey Johnson now in Washington. He's come back. He seems to be a man on the mission. He may not have the horses this year, but certainly next year with Bryce Harper and with Steven Strasburg back, you have to think that Davey Johnson can make some things happen in Washington next year.
Absolutely. And, hey, and I'm not talking next year. I'm talking this year. Hey, anybody better watch out. They better watch out for the Nationals. I'm talking about you've got Zimmerman back healthy. You've got a young player that they just found out who's a superstar. His name's not coming to me right now, but you probably know who I'm talking about. It's an outfielder, just hitting the ball like crazy this year.
Yeah, I think I do.
What's his name?
I'll get
Michael?
His name in a sec.
Yeah, give me his name, because this guy is turning heads, and this guy is a definite all-star player in the game, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Nationals making a run for that wild card.
Yeah, Morse. You were talking about Morse.
Morse, yes, absolutely.
Yep.
What's his first name?
He's got
Michael
15
Morse,
homers,
like
46
that?
RBIs.
15 homers, 46 RBIs at the break. This guy's awesome.
And we're not
Came
even at the
nowhere.
Break yet. No, he
yeah,
really is. Michael
break.
Morse is doing great, and that's a good spot by you, because a lot of people probably don't realize who he is, and I haven't paid as much attention to him as I could, and you're right. This is a guy who right now he's hitting 300, so that's a big deal. That really will help them. I still think you're overly optimistic, but, hey, this is, you know, the Nationals are sort of hanging in there, and they're hanging tough, and now they've got what I think is a Hall of Fame manager. He's not even in the Hall of Fame yet, which I don't understand. But at some point, Davey Johnson may be eligible as a manager for the Hall of Fame, and maybe if he takes the Nationals to a championship one year, he'll get it. But right now, they're a game under 500, so you have to believe things are looking up for them, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's also continue to look around the league and see that the Boston Red Sox are in town against the Philadelphia Phillies. I could tell you I know this for certain because I played softball across the street from the ballpark last night and watched all the fans partying, barbecuing, doing everything before the game. I went and played my game, took care of business. We won. We're undefeated so far, so that's good. But Phillies-Red Sox has turned into a pretty fun series, and so far the Phillies have really killed them. And Cliff Lee's, you know, working on 30 scoreless innings. Now, he's got a long way to go to reach the 59 and two-thirds of Oral Hershiser, but he's halfway there.
If anyone can do it, you know it's Cliff Lee. I think on the last show we talked about Cliff Lee. You were a little concerned that he was 4-5 and he wasn't playing Cliff Lee. And I told you, listen, I don't think there's anybody not getting any sleep at night when you're talking about Cliff Lee and being ready to play in this game.
You were right.
Cliff Lee is hands down one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and it's just a matter of time before he gets it going. And when he gets it going, there's nobody better than him, maybe other than maybe outside his teammate, Doc Holliday.
Nope, you were right about that, and he's really turned it on, and that's pretty good. And the Red Sox lately are back to 3-7, but they went on an incredible run. So they're in second place, two games behind the Yankees. If Lisa were on, I'd hear her complaining about the Yankees. They don't have enough pitching. Derek Jeter's on the DL, but he's coming back against the Mets. Maybe he'll get his 3,000th hit. The team's in turmoil. The Yankees aren't right, and they're 8-2 in their last 10.
Oh, yeah, the Yankees. You know what, the Yankees. Everybody loves to hate the Yankees. They've got so many holes. They got so many questions. But you know what? Every time you look up, they're in first place. It's so amazing. You can't give enough credit for Gardner. Brett Gardner stepped in when Jeter went down, and he's the leadoff man. He's a spark plug. He's been sparking that time. He gets on base. He'll put the bunt down. He runs like heck. He'll steal second. He'll steal third. Yankees haven't seen speed like this since Ricky Henderson. I mean, it's so
talking
awesome.
To your phone, we're losing you.
Yeah, Yankees haven't seen speed like this since Ricky Henderson, so it's awesome to see Gardner up there on the top of the order. Then they got a guy named Granderson, who he's obviously an all-star. He was in Detroit, but he has turned into a mega all-star with the Yankees now in that ballpark, in that left field. He's found a nice little home, and he's just an awesome ball player and had a great year.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, people should get over to Trenton and watch some Trenton Thunder baseball, because Derek Jeter is going to be playing a couple of games there, rehabbing. That's going to be a crazy scene over there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be wild. And it's always good for baseball in the minor leagues to have, superstars come into town and play and get ready to get back up. It's just phenomenal, and it's great for the game.
And when they go out to eat, Derek's paying for everything, right?
Absolutely, man. He just write it off. He's got about $10 million to spend, so, hey, why not?
He's got to. So I think that's fun. I think that is the fun part of baseball, and I think it's great when you have that situation going on and fans could see him on a minor league field. You may never get a chance to do that again. I understand that guys like Robinson Cano, I've covered games over in Trenton, and those guys that went through there, but if you missed them then, the chances of them coming through now are almost nil. So I think that that's a pretty cool thing. Right now, by the way, we should say that if people aren't watching, Red Sox-Phillies are on, and we're talking about Cole Hamels against John Lester. That's a good matchup.
Oh, yeah, two lefties, two of the best lefties. You know, not too many people talk about Cole Hamels. He's kind of like the forgotten guy in the Phillies rotation now. But I tell you what, he's still got that changeup. And, man, he's still nasty.
He is still nasty. All right. Save Jose Reyes Night, July 19th. Nico, give word about our sponsor one more time.
Yeah, Shore Mortgage. Man, what a phenomenal company, saving money for all Little Leaguers. Call in now. You can call directly. The bankers are standing by, especially for this broadcast here. You can call 248-833-0227.
Nico, we've got a caller. I'm going to get this caller on, and if we go a little bit into archives, so be it. Caller, go ahead. You're talking to Russ and Nico. Oh, they're off the line. Oh, well. We had somebody there, but I guess they backed out.
Okay.
But anyhow, everybody keep an eye on the Dodger situation. Keep your eye on your team.
Let's share the good news. We almost forgot about the great news.
Almost forgot about the good news. Go ahead. You can say it.
Well, we might as well let the cat out the hat. Our book, Strike Three, and I thank you so much, Russ, has been accepted into the Archives of the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's something, for me, a dream come true. It's kind of like overwhelmingly kind of changed my life overnight. It's just so amazing. I'm so thankful. I'm so humbled. And I just can't wait for the movie premiere.
It really is amazing, and we can't wait for the movie. And I have to say that it's a tremendous honor, because if somebody wants to reference the 94 World Series or look 94 strike and cancellation of the World Series or the 95 replacements, or if they want to research it, they can go to the Baseball Hall of Fame and they can, you know, borrow a copy of the book while they're there, copy down what they like about it, and use that in whatever article or book they might be working on. And it is a tremendous honor. And to be able to talk to the Hall of Fame yesterday was just so much fun. And so, yeah, you know, as much as you thank me, I thank you. It was your story. So without you, I wouldn't have been able to write it. So it was a dual effort, but it is something that we'll always remember. And maybe someday at the movie premiere, it'll all come full circle.
Absolutely, absolutely. So awesome. Thanks again, Russ. Thank you so much.
No problem. Nico, that's it. That's going to be this week's edition of The Game, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Okay. Thanks, Russ.
See ya.